On Friday, we remembered VE Day, as it was the 75th anniversary of victory in Europe. But about a year before, at 6:30 in the morning, over 250,000 Allied soldiers, sailors and airmen took part in one of the most complex and intricate operations in the history of warfare, the D-Day landings on Normandy beaches. The German army were not prepared for the deluge of fighting men, so D-Day marked the beginning of the end of World War II. Although the decisive battle was won, the men who survived D-Day were stunned, bewildered, half drowned, and with kit soaked, they were exhausted. The war would continue on for some months, so it wasn't until Tuesday the 8th of May 1945 that Germany unconditionally surrendered to the Allied forces. That was VE Day. Some have said that as Christians, we live between D-Day and VE Day, the D-Day of Christ's coming and the VE Day of Christ's return. The decisive battle has been won, but we face other battles every day as we advance towards the final victory. We live in the meantime, and it's not an easy place to be. Like the men who survived D-Day, we can feel weary, bewildered with life, wondering where will we get the strength to find another day. And Paul, writing this letter to the church in Philippi, knows the Philippians were struggling in the meantime to live the Christian life. Philippi was a Roman colony with Roman customs and laws and a temple built to worship Caesar. It was situated at the end of the great Roman military road, the Ignatian Way. The city itself was multicultural, cosmopolitan city with a mix of Greek and Italian and some Roman inhabitants who were veterans from the wars and the battles and that the Romans had fought. And into the mix, Paul plants a church, starting with a businesswoman called Lydia, a Roman jailer and his family, and a servant girl. At discovering what it means to, all of them discovering what it means to live the Christian life in the meantime, between this D-Day and this VE Day. To be a Christian in Philippi was not an easy decision to make, but Paul knew that through the Philippians, through the church, they could move and advance beyond the Roman Empire and take the gospel west into Europe. And so Paul encourages the Philippians to keep looking to Jesus for how to live and to stand firm in their faith in the meantime. Paul doesn't pretend that this Christian life is a doddle, life of bliss and problem-free. He's the first to acknowledge it can be tough and it can even invite more suffering. I mean, this is the guy who, because of his commitment to Jesus, has suffered beatings, stonings, he's known pain, hunger, thirst, exposure and imprisonment, all because he chose to live for Jesus. He openly admits that facing life and facing death requires his full courage. This is a very human Paul, and we can all relate to what he's saying. Life can be hard, life is hard, and add to that the finality of death that can seem to confirm the harshness of life. So what are we to do? How are we to live? Paul says he lives in the meantime with an eager expectation of hope. Now what does that mean? What is that? Well, the literal meaning of the Greek word Paul uses for this phrase, eager expectation and hope, is someone straining to lift up their head as high as possible to see better and further, to get a better perspective or vantage point. Paul knows there are times when we live just focusing on our life, on the here and the now, the circumstances that we are in, only being aware of what is around us. If only we'd lift up our heads in faith like Paul to get a glimpse of what is beyond our field of vision, then we'd see everything differently, and it would give us a whole new perspective on our life right now. Paul says, lift up your heads, strain to see more of Christ so you have an eager expectation and hope. Get the King Jesus perspective on life and death. Isn't this what we need to do when we're surrounded by the effects of COVID-19? When life is tough, life is hard, in lots of different ways for each of us. Our circumstances are far from ideal. We can't seem to see beyond the here and now. We're hearing what the death toll is each day, the here and the now. And even then beyond that, beyond today, so many things are uncertain. We're worn down, we're weary, fear has maybe set in for some of us. And Paul is saying, lift up your head and get your eyes on Jesus. As we try to stay focused on Jesus, we may be a bit like this dad in this video, who's on holiday visiting the cliffs of Moher on the west coast of Ireland. He's 200 metres above sea level and he's afraid of heights, but he's determined not to miss the view to get the perspective of where he is at such a great height.
I'm afraid.
It's okay.
Oh my gosh.
Today, fans, thanks for checking out our YouTube channel. Subscribe by clicking that button down there and click on any of the videos over here to watch the latest interviews, show highlights, and digital exclusives.
This dad came so far, I'm assuming all the way from America. Apologies if he was Canadian, but wherever he came from, he was not going to miss out on the vantage point over the cliffs high above the ocean. For him, it was worth it, facing his fears, overcoming them, even if it was on his belly, dragging himself to the edge. The next time he has to face a great height, he'll know that he has that courage in him to be able to face it. But at times we can be like this dad. At first, you know, spiritually paralyzed by fear and doubt, tentatively stepping out in faith to see, to get a glimpse of, to know something greater and more awesome and impressive than if we'd remained where we were, to experience a fuller life. Paul says he was full of courage because of Jesus. And this phrase, full of courage, that Paul uses in his letter, this phrase he uses, it's used in a lot of places in the New Testament, particularly in Acts, that describes the first Christians and how the church began. They were full of courage, and look how the church thrived. For example, when Peter and John are before the high priest and Caiaphas and the temple, the captain of the temple guards, the same people who crucified Jesus, we're told that before these men, Peter and John were full of courage. It's a word used in Greek for speaking the truth when it's a matter of life and death. And that was the case for Peter and John. And it's how it was for Paul. Every time he spoke of his faith in Jesus, he took a risk, a great risk. And Paul hoped and prayed that the Philippians would too take such a risk. Because they would be full of the courage of Jesus. Too often you and I think, believe the lie of the evil one, that if we speak up about our faith, it's like a matter of life and death. Yet we fail to appreciate or take advantage of the freedom of speech that we have. Yet we live in such a risk-averse society, and COVID-19 is not going to help this underlying fear that there is. We fear other people's opinions. We doubt the Spirit of God in us to help us, as Paul says in verse 19, to fill us full of courage. We have forgotten what was achieved on D-Day by Jesus when he came to live and die and rise again. And we lose sight of the coming VE Day, the day of Christ, when he comes again and everything in heaven and on earth will be made new. And so forgetting all this, or losing sight of these things, we forget the truth that Paul writes, that this will turn out for my deliverance. A quote taken from Job in the Old Testament. And yes, Paul is unsure what this deliverance may be, but he's so confident it will happen. He's so sure, because he has strained and lifted his neck, so to speak, as far as he can see, looking at Jesus, who has won the victory. And this is our confidence too, that no matter what we face in life and death, Jesus has made a way for us to be rescued, set free, delivered. At this time when the sands are shifting beneath our feet, and we are living in a time of transition, so much uncertainty, so much unknown, so much fear. This is a time when people are more open, though, to hearing about where we find our confidence, our peace, our hope, where we find our joy in what seems like so many things to be despairing about, worrying about, fretting about. We have an opportunity to share what we know, what we have seen by looking at Jesus, and how we can live right now in the meantime. And it's not that we belittle or ignore or overlook the problems that we face. We are well and truly aware of them, and we need to acknowledge them. Indeed, we need to speak of them when we pray. And we need to have the attitude of Paul, who was quite open about the experiences he was having and the difficulties he was facing and the suffering they brought upon him. But we're not alone in this one. And Paul wasn't either. That's why he asked the Philippians to pray for him. Paul says to the Philippians, though, for them together in Philippi, in this Roman colony, he says, strive together, battle on together, put the effort in, keep together as church, side by side. A reference that was to the Roman soldiers who fought in a formation that was shoulder to shoulder with interlocking shields. Did you hear the wife in the video who was encouraging her husband in the background to keep edging towards the cliff edge to get a better view? Okay, she was laughing, but her husband needed her encouragement. He needed to be reminded of all the other things he'd overcome as he made this journey towards the cliffs of Moher. God knows we need each other. We live out the gospel together in community. As church, we need one another, because we can be lazy, spiritually lazy. We can be fearful and lack courage to speak up. We can procrastinate and need a godly kick up the backside to get on with actively following Jesus. And we can forget that the best things in life, they are hard. Nothing good in life is easy. We worship a God who knows that better than any of us, having gone to a cross to achieve the greatest victory. Sure, you can live an easy life. You can settle for mediocrity and things are okay. But okay is never excellent. Okay is never best. okay was never a quality associated with Jesus. Amazing, incredible, astounding, marvelous, admirable, awe-inspiring, but never okay. Do not lose sight of Jesus, Christ the King, who has secured the victory over suffering, sin, and death itself, like a D-Day, and will return to claim the victory greater than what was achieved on VE Day. When we look to Jesus, we have a glimpse of something beyond our immediate field of vision and the limits of our physical sight of what we know and understand. This is our confidence. This is our hope. In this, in Jesus, we find our joy in the meantime. And this is what you and I have been called to share. And I pray that we do. Let's take time now as we sing to reflect on what we've heard, on what you've read in Philippians chapter 1, and to commit or recommit ourselves to following Jesus.